The following is a TV show interview given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on October 23rd, 2009, in Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
As I promised, I'm going to join with Guru Dave. How are you today?
I'm absolutely ecstatic.
Guru Dave, I had a pleasure of hearing your lecture this evening. And here at the Self-Discovery Center, I found some very enlightening points, and tonight was no exception. I'd like to just inform the audience a little bit about yourself, who you are, a little bit about your background, any of that.
Yes, I'm a spiritual master of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridanti Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. My spiritual master blessed me with knowledge of the highest truth, and he ordered me to share this knowledge with the entire world, so I've dedicated my whole life to doing that. I became his initiated disciple in August of 1971. Wow. So since that time, I've engaged myself, my full energy in trying to bring about spiritual enlightenment on this planet. As many people as I can enlighten with this knowledge, I'm doing that.
You said a lot there. 1971. So where were you in 1971 that you were able to become?
I was in Austin, Texas in 1971.
Okay. Is that where you're originally from?
Originally is beyond this body. This material body is simply a covering. Mm-hmm. Originally, we are all from the spiritual world. So originally, I'm from the spiritual world.
Got it.
But in this, at the time, I was a countercultural songwriter back in the early 70s in Austin. They call it now the live music capital of the world, Austin, Texas. But I was a countercultural songwriter at the time in Austin, looking for a message that could enlighten the entire world. And I wasn't able. I was trying to write a music that can enlighten the whole world, but I couldn't figure out how to do that. Mm-hmm. But then I found a teacher who already knew what to do for enlightening the world, so I just decided to become his disciple.
Yeah. Wow. Songwriter. So I imagine I heard you play. We heard you in your program today. Was that part of the musical?
Oh, that's a new style I developed since I became a spiritual teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, formerly I was an acoustic guitar player, singer, right, in English. You know, I appeared with the... I sometimes appeared like with the Airplane and the Dead.
Okay.
In San Francisco.
All
right. Yeah, I had locally popular musician in those days. But I wrote hundreds of songs. But I was really trying to find a message that could bring about a complete transformation of the world. And I found my teacher was already doing them. Then I dedicated my life to mastering the science that he taught and teaching others also how to master it.
Now, do you still perform?
Not really a performer per se. I am working on a CD right now of English songs. I try to write music, enlightening music. It's not for the sake of performing, but for the sake of enlightening.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. That's what the world is really needing. The show itself. We've been interviewing artists. Primarily, that's who comes on this show. Artists that do that enlightenment type music. And I'm just really thrilled to know that you do that. Do you have any music that is available so that the audience can hear it?
Well, it's not really... I have some songs that are already written, but I don't have my guitar here, and I'm not practiced either right now.
Got it.
I've been on the preaching circuit for about the last 2 months, and my calluses are all gone, and I can't
remember. Preaching circle, that's what we were at tonight, and that's what we heard you talk about, and you were very profound with it. You preach the gospel of revolution, spiritual revolution.
Yes, that's right.
I really am really happy to hear that coming right out with it. What do you mean by spiritual revolution? What does that mean?
Spiritual revolution means right now the whole world is based on selfishness. You see, greed, lust, selfishness. Spiritual revolution means to completely flip it the opposite direction to pure selflessness.
Mm.
You see, that's the spiritual revolution.
Okay.
Right now, I'm thinking I'm the center of the universe. You're thinking you're the center. He's thinking he's the center.
Right.
And therefore, we conflict with each other again and again and again because I'm thinking I'm the center. You're thinking I'm the center.
Okay.
I mean, you're all thinking we're the center. That's my point.
Sure.
So the real thing is there's a supreme person. There's the source of all of us. And he's the center, and the name is not that he has millions of names. You can call him Allah, Jehovah, or Krishna. That's not the point. But the real revolution is to we all agree to accept him as the center and not try to make ourselves the center.
Got it.
That's the revolution.
Well, my Baha'i. How familiar are you with the Baha'i faith?
I'm not familiar.
Baha'i faith is the youngest religion out of Iran, offshoot. Well, not offshoot, but it's a progression of the Islam. And what they teach is each religion has a progression. And what I heard you speak of tonight was that there are many names that you can call the Supreme Being.
Mm.
And the calling on the name is what dictates the power.
Yeah. One has to call the name of God with love. That's the principle, scientific principle.
What I enjoy most of all, and my question to you is this, what is the transformation from this side to the other side of the spiritual?
It's from selfishness to pure selflessness.
Okay. And selflessness, what does that dictate?
Selflessness means instead of trying to making my conception of happiness based on pleasing myself, my happiness becomes on pleasing God. Everything is for His pleasure. Every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances is all for His pleasure, not mine.
Okay. And does that mean that you have pleasure?
That means you enjoy it when you deny yourself and give everything to the Supreme, then actually you enter into the love, the consciousness of enjoying on an equal level with the Supreme, okay. Which means your enjoyment be expanded by millions and billions of times.
And when you are loving God, serving God, that gives you the pleasure of God. Is that correct?
When you're totally dovetailed in pleasing Him by all your thoughts, words, and deeds, then you enjoy on an equal level with Him.
Okay. Great.
Yeah,
and that is what Hare Krishna.
Yes, that's the core of our philosophy.
How to
everything for the pleasure of the Supreme. Yeah.
And the word Hare Krishna simply means.
Hare means the energy of God, and Krishna means God.
God. Okay. So the energy of God and
we approach God through His energy. It's like you approach a big man through his secretary. We approach Krishna through His energy. So we're begging the mercy of the energy and then begging the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna. In this way, by connecting with the energy and with Krishna Himself, then we enjoy on a level equal with Him.
You gave a call tonight, and it was to the individuals in the neighborhoods to be your first guru, to be your first spiritual leader. What
yes.
do you mean by that?
Yes, if you become a selfless representative of the Supreme Person, then wherever you are, with your neighborhood or wherever you may travel all over the world, and you become naturally a spiritual leader.
And you are saying it is very important for us to have more spiritual leaders in the world.
We need thousands and millions of them right now.
Okay. And we need that for what?
For the sake of everyone's happiness, for the well-being of this human population, human civilization.
So what I'm understanding is that you're indicating that the world is embarking upon a change.
We have to. It's like the Titanic is sinking and we have a choice. Man the lifeboats or go down with the ship.
And the solution that you offer, or the solution that has been prophesied, is for us to be spiritually.
To become spiritually enlightened beings by taking shelter of the name of God.
Okay.
Yeah.
The holy book that you subscribe to, what is that name?
Of course, we accept all the revealed scriptures of the world, but especially powerful is the Bhagavad Gita spoken by Lord Krishna.
And how old is the Bhagavad Gita?
The Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. And it was actually spoken before that millions of years ago also, but it was re-spoken 5,000 years ago by Krishna to Arjuna in India.
And this book, is it a scriptorial? Is it instructions? How is it?
It's a how-to instruction book given by Krishna to Arjuna, how to come out of bewilderment and become, how to become enlightened.
And you indicated that you were a guru. What does that mean?
Yes, my spiritual master ordered me to become a spiritual master. Okay. That means a teacher of the self-realization science, an ideal teacher who practices what he preaches.
And you have students all over the world?
Yes.
And approximately how many students?
Well, on my internet course, I have 10,822 people signed up on my internet training course right now.
So this.
And I have about 75 initiated disciples who have taken formal vows of initiation. And I do two around the world tours every year, going to maybe, 30 different countries? I forget the number, but I'm doing two lecture tours every year around the world.
Wow, that's fantastic. How taxing is that on your body?
It's taxing. Let's face it. I wish it wasn't. It is taxing. Especially I have a problem with my hearing. It's hard in my hearing.
One other point that I really enjoyed you speaking on tonight is offering sacrifices to help individuals through food and how to present this food to the deity's name that whatever an individual calls on for their supreme being. How did you come about that?
Well, that's given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The whole idea of distributing sanctified foods, Krishna says the devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. That's given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. If you'll offer food to God before you eat it, that eating will transform your consciousness.
Now, by offering, you mean give it to prayer or you pray over it? Or?
Just like if I was going to offer you a dinner, I would make a plate and hand it to you so you could eat it, right?
Yes.
So we make a plate, and make a special plate for the Lord, and we lay it in front of his photograph, and we say some prayers of love, offering it to him, that he can eat that. It's for him to eat it and enjoy it.
We spoke about Jesus in India at one point in time of his travels.
Yeah.
How familiar are you with the teachings of Jesus the Christ?
I'm a little familiar. I'm not a great biblical scholar, but I grew up in the Christian church, so I'm a little familiar.
Okay, and how connected is the Christian thought process to that of the ancient?
Well, the actual Christ was actually a Bhakti Yoga teacher. So it's the exact same science that we're teaching. He's simply teaching it in an elementary way, in elementary terms that the people of Israel could understand at that time.
Got it.
He was a highly, perfectly realized bhakti yogi.
Bhakti yogi, that's a particular form of yoga, is that correct?
Bhakti yoga, is the yoga of devotion.
The yoga of devotion. And what distinguishes that from the other forms of yoga?
The other forms of yoga, like the Hatha yoga system, is a mechanical process when it's done actually properly done. It's not just for health. It's actually meant for self-realization. The Hatha Yoga system is bringing through breathing exercises, diet, asanas, etc., bringing the mind completely under control. Mm-hmm. And then when you have the mind totally under control, then you fix it on God. You see? Okay. That's the Hatha. But that's the mechanical process of bringing your mind under control. That's more difficult. If you actually fall in love, then your mind automatically thinks of your beloved 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So the Hatha Yoga system is a mechanical process of bringing the mind out of control. In the Bhakti Yoga system, you fall in love with the object of your meditation. So then you automatically think about that 24 hours a day. So the Bhakti Yoga system is easier system, more practical.
And by falling in love, you mean by chanting the name?
Yes. Okay. By chanting the name of Krishna, for example, and by seeing beautiful paintings of Krishna, hearing the pastimes of Krishna, you will fall in love with him. I mean, even this world, you know, you see some movie of some movie star or some songs. You never even met the person. But by seeing their music, reading about them, you can develop a crush in some movie star that you never even met the girl, you know.
True.
Just by seeing her on the screen and hearing her songs,
right.
Seeing photographs, you can fall in love with her. It happens all the time.
Right.
So same thing you can do with God. By seeing his pictures, hearing about him, you know, you can fall in love with God.
I've been studying the Bhagavad Gita, and sex is one thing that is spoke of in high regards as far as being under control. Why is that so important for sexual desire?
Controlled sexual passions is very important for self-realization, because the first point of self-realization is I am not this body. I'm not a male, I'm not a female, I'm an eternal spiritual being. In other words, self-realization means you have to take a popular expression, you have to kiss your body goodbye in one sense.
Okay.
You see? So you have to kiss the bodily conception goodbye.
Sure, okay.
That I am male or I'm female.
Right.
So as long as I'm on the platform of sexual enjoyment, I'm totally rooted in I'm male, I'm female, you know.
Right.
So, or even if you're gay, it's still the same thing.
Okay.
You're still rooted into the bodily conception of identifying with the sexual organs.
So
to become self-realized, you have to detach yourself from enjoying on that platform, because it pulls you in the opposite direction.
Okay.
If you're basing your happiness on gratifying your genitals, then you're pulling yourself the opposite direction from self-realization.
And can you see that that's how this world is being led right now?
Yeah, Freud is definitely taking us on a wild goose chase, there's no doubt.
Okay.
Freud is really taking us on a wild goose chase.
And you mean by Freud?
Sigmund Freud, the psychologist who said that everything is based on sex.
Oh, okay. So now that has been, it's coming back around that we need to detach ourselves.
Freud was right on the material platform. The material world is spinning on sex.
Got
he
it.
Was right. But he didn't acknowledge the other identity beyond the material body, which is the spiritual nature. That he didn't have any conception. So if we want to actually become enlightened, we have to use sex spiritually for producing saintly children, which is God's purpose for giving it to us. Then it's that sort of sex is very beautiful and very good.
So you're not advocating abstinence?
No. Use sex naturally, but don't use it unnaturally. That's all.
Yeah.
Natural means for producing saintly children. That's natural sex.
I know you're exhausted. I want to thank you for this opportunity to spend some time with the audience. Hopefully when you come back, we'll do a little bit more with you. But I want you just to close with the word.
But before I go, I want to give a little plug for my free e-course.
If you
can even put this on the screen.
Okay.
When you do the editing, www.backtohome.com. www.backtohome.com. They go on there, they can get on my free e-course. They can also see how they can send me emails to ask me questions.
And your Back to Home e-course deals with the Bhakti Yoga.
Yes, that's right.
So the questions that they may have about sex, or may have about foods, or may have about...
In relation with the self-realization process. I can answer all those questions. That's right.
We'll be glad to do that. I want to thank you, Yogi David. And just in closing, I'd like for you just to have a few words to address the audience, okay?
Yes. So, you've gotten this human form of life. After transmigrating through millions and millions of forms, this is a very rare opportunity for you. This human life is not meant to eat and sleep, mate and defend simply, like animals. These activities should be minimized, what is ever necessary for keeping one healthy and fit. But beyond that, your energy should be utilized to realize your eternal spiritual identity in quality one with the Supreme Person, the Supreme Reality, underlies all of existence. If you can learn how to dovetail your consciousness with that Supreme Consciousness, then you will achieve a state beyond all the miseries of material existence. You'll become a spiritually enlightened being who realizes eternity, knowledge, and bliss, who becomes free from the temporality, the ignorance, and the misery of material existence. The most powerful means of doing this is the yoga system. And the most powerful yoga system is the bhakti yoga system, the yoga of devotion. And the most recommended means of perfecting the bhakti yoga system is to chant the holy names of God, especially this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll say it one more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you will chant these 16 names every morning before the sunrise, without fail, every day, you'll experience a tremendous transformation of consciousness. You will have a reawakening of your original eternal spiritual nature, I guarantee you. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.